All right, everyone, it's what you didn't. I mean, a lot of you guys really don't like this. Just gonna be honest. So I need to know who wants me to continue this. Because I've got comments where people are just really fucking upset, frustrated. And I need to know. Like, tell me. Yes, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But it's a lie. Because this game goes from January to January. Right now we're in September, and there's a lot more shit that's going to happen. I've already been told a lot more shit's going to happen. So, if you want me to continue and cover all this shit, let me know. If not, I'll finish reading it. But I think as we've gone so far, we do kind of need to finish it, because we're almost done with the game. It would be kind of stupid to not finish it and leave an unfinished playthrough of a game we're almost done with. So, maybe I should just go ahead and continue it. But I'm reading these scenes really fucking fast, okay? Because I'm not interested in them. If you are, go find them online, do your thing. This is straight up for the story, because I want to know what happens and what she goes through and how she makes it out. Because I've been told there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and damn it, I want to see that light. The cold sensation of the air accentuates the shamelessness of her actions. Agony clenches around her heart like a fist. She was trained by Kinnison, forced to serve the inspection committee, and even became Callahan's sex slave. Despite all these things, her folds still have a vivid pink hue. Her body is vividly prepared to accept a man. Her thick labia begged desperately for a cock to embrace, glowing with the lustful charm of a sexually mature woman. Her petals glisten invitingly, twitching visibly as if to lure the men into looking deeper within. The creases of her asshole stick out almost like a second set of genitals begging to accept a man. Even now her clit is stiff and hard, as if It's as if her weak point is calling out to be teased and touched. See, despite being an alien, she looks exactly like a human. But don't forget, this thing isn't human, it's subhuman. Shitty monster, remember that. This isn't human. But she knows that she's human. She'll endure this absurd, cruel trial. Minori wants to say as much as... I don't know what that is. But right now, anything she dares say might be seen as an act of defiance. Callahan thrusts his thick fingers against her shameless clit, toying with it. Minori's lower half ignites with lust. Her writhing CC organ flares up, sending jolts of sensation through the alien tissues encroaching on her nervous system. A glossy sheen of sweat glazes her behind, her open folds moist and now shining with love juices. While Minori herself can't see this, the blue pattern around her asshole surface is now visibly glowing. This is proof. Take a good, hard look. When this slutty alien is thirsty for human cock, the symbol surfaces on her butt. When you see this, you know she's wet and ready to use. Realizing the pattern has surfaced, Minori panics. No, don't show it to them, but that inner scream doesn't reach her lips. If you ever get horny in the middle of work, just use this. It's made to pleasure human men. It's guaranteed to feel great. But since she's not a human woman, she can only say two things. Please use me, I beg of you, and thank you so much for using me. Also, if this thing changes positions, it means it's broken. If it breaks, don't stop at just throwing it away. Report its failure at once. These are the only two things she's allowed to say. This uncomfortable, humiliating stance where she shows off her pussy and ass is the only way she's allowed to stand. And if she can't do that, she'll be electrocuted, blamed for defying her orders, and maybe even killed. Worst of all, her reinstatement might be delayed or even canceled. She wouldn't be able to withstand that cruelty. Yeah, it's fine if you break this one. We have a good made in Russia replacement. Minori nearly screams out. He means that Yusha. Not only is she being put through torture terrible enough to permanently maim her body, but she'll be put through this too. Go on, use her as much as you want, whenever you want. Just as he says, they go on and use Minori as much and as whenever they want. These men, dirty with the sweat of their labor, take turns raping her. Each time one of them finishes, Minori says what she must. Please use me, I beg you. She speaks like a whore, her voice tinged with exhaustion as she allows the next man in line to spill his seed into her vagina. If she ever forgets to say it even once, she's mercilessly electrocuted for her negligence. Most of the men don't even bother with any foreplay instead of thrusting straight into her holes. Even so, Minori's throbbing, burning vagina keeps twitching and spewing out love juices as it hungrily sips the man's cocks. The men intently work out their lust with their body. Minori's privates happily accept any cock that comes their way, luring it deeper inside and eagerly drinking up the semen it spews. There's no whispers of love here, yet no curses are being hurled her way. The men only treat Minori as a hole to thrust into. Even Minori ignores the part of her mind that screams in resistance, happily accepting the men's attentions. The men raise their voices in pleasure as they pour their taint into her with the same indifference they have towards pissing into a toilet. Each time hot cum fills her up, it chips at her dignity. It's like proof that she's a swine who accepts any cock that penetrates her. Thank you so much for using me. As the men stand shoulder to shoulder and laugh at her, Minori earnestly repeats to herself that this is all for the purpose of reinstating her. But her thoughts soon lose their coherency. The next man uses her, and then another one. Please use me, I beg of you. Before she can even finish her sentence, Minori is raped again, prompting her to moan sweetly. Her body betrays her will, devouring all manners of dick, larger ones, smaller ones, harder ones, softer ones. She lets out a deep, satisfied gasp, having sucked the cum out of these men. But if she doesn't thank them for finishing now, they'll electrocute her again. Thank you so much for using me. But she's better off when the men use her non-stop. When there's a long pause between sessions, the lack of stimulation and having to stand in such an unnatural posture weigh down on her. Exhausted by the sex, her consciousness feels like it might flicker out. The overflowing cum and love juices form a slimy, slippery puddle on the floor, threatening to make her slip and fall at any moment. She tries her hardest to keep her thoughts intact, but it's impossible to think rationally in this hazy state. Some part of her wonders that even if she does this and sticks to the rules, won't they eventually use some trumped-up reason to reject her reinstatement anyway? Maybe she no longer has any value as a soldier, only as a sex doll. In truth, they might just be callous enough to have never intended to give her a real chance. This is all just extended mockery of her her pathetic floundering. Maybe she should just give it all up. She should just crumble to the floor regardless of all the electrocution and rape in store for her. If she collapses, all this can end. It's such a seductive, wonderful thought. But just then, she hears the voice again from afar calling out to her from beyond the end. Hey, stop doing this and let's become one. It'll be wonderful. Hey, stop doing this and let's become one. It'll be lovely. Hey, stop doing this and let's become one. It'll feel good. Giving in to such sweet temptation would let her accept anything and everything. I promise her there's such lovely things if only she listens to the voice. If she goes there, all her anxieties and suffering will cease to be. She wants to accept that temptation, to jump into that voice's embrace. But Ayusha and Nana won't be there with her. She recalls Ayusha's gruesome state and Nana's cheerful smile. Sorry. When you read fast, you sometimes swallow your spit. It happens. Okay. She recalls Ayusha's gruesome state and Nana's cheerful smile. Maybe Minori's been a sex doll for a long while now and no longer has any value as a soldier. But if it means she'll be able to reunite with them, then she has something worth fighting for. The voices grow distant as she pushes her shaking knees to remain upright. She hears another zipper being pulled down. A man approaches her from behind. Minori breathes out the words again, reciting them like a broken record. Please use me. I beg you. September 30th. Wow. Oh my god. We're almost to October. Then there's just October, November, and December. Upon awakening, the first thing Minori Iizuka sees is a shabby cell. She knows she should be feeling the hardness of the floor press against half her body. But all she can feel right now is a faint sorrow. Her emotions are almost entirely numb. The look in her eyes is as murky as a stagnant, lifeless fog. Her body feels heavy and sluggish from accumulated fatigue. Her legs' tendons are stiff from standing in such an unnatural position day after day for 20 days total. Just stretching them makes pain shoot through her legs. But even so, Minori withstands the pain and slowly gets to her feet, earnestly trying to recall the events of the day before. She can remember staying in that posture until the end of the day, but she can't remember anything after that. She remembered washing the dried cum off of her body that morning. Someone must have taken her back to her cell. It seemed like the lab aides spared her after that. She knows that recently the lab aides began to use her as well, though she can't remember exactly when recently might have been. After days of serving as a sexual relief station in the male officer's residential block, she lost count of how many days have passed. She only remembers that one time when she came back to her cell exhausted and reeking of cum, she was in the process of washing herself off when she was suddenly electrocuted. Once she fell limp, the aides entered her cell and raped her. Once they were done with her, another group of aides swapped places with the first and did the same thing. Trying to resist would only be seen as defiant, so she couldn't do anything for fear of death. Sometimes she passes out in the middle of her work, only to wake up to find herself being raped by the aides. Other times an aide would rape her while she headed to her duties in at a sexual release station. She's reminded of the fact that she no longer knows what day it even is. Maybe the last day of September has already passed her by, but sadly none of the men on this base will listen to her, save for Dr. Prakashi. Minori relieved herself into a simple toilet and then washed her body. She squatted down, slid her fingers over a thick bush, and spread her vagina open. She washed it off using her fingers to scrub it thoroughly. Since she's a sexual release station, she has to be clean for use. If she were to open her vagina to her users, only to reveal the filth on her folds, they'd electrocute her without mercy. She meant to simply wash herself off, but before long her fingers start churning her vagina in an act of wild masturbation. She pulls on her engorged nipples hard enough to nearly yank them off while she fingers herself. When she starts to wash her asshole as well, she starts to tease that hole as well. My ass pussy feels good, pump it with your fingers. Between her training in August and all the rape she's been subjected to, her vagina's become quite accustomed to sex and tightens around her finger. The thick folds of her asshole stick out from between her buttocks, clearly visible. As her rectum twitches, the CC pattern surfaces over her behind, shining with blue light. The men using Minori's body might not treat her as human, but they do seem to enjoy her insides enough from how much they come. I'm fulfilling my duties. They'll reinstate me. They'll treat me like a human again. My pussy's being useful, right? Despite being so excited, she avoids touching her clitoris for fear of coming on the spot. No, not there. Don't do that. But why does it feel so good? She squirts loudly from her pussy. Even her asshole overflows with juices, too. Her untouched glints from under her thick bush like a miniature red penis. Minori swallows nervously. She pulls out her fingers from her vagina and pokes her clitoris. No, if I rub there, it twitches, but it's so good. Don't stop. A memory jolts through her brain. The aides first attacked her right here when she was in the middle of masturbating while bathing. As she was teasing her clit just like this, she noticed she was being watched. But she couldn't stop until she came, and then they pounced on her when she was exhausted. She even recalled saying, "Thank you so much for using me." The order to do so is that ingrained into her mind. Thank you so much for using me. Thank you so very much. Minori isn't even sure who she's thinking anymore. After a powerful orgasm, she languidly lies on the dreary floor. The water's still running. She never turned it off since she started to bathe. The chill of the water helps her thoughts settle down. I'm going crazy. She loses herself to masturbation first thing in the morning, only to be used by countless men as a sexual relief station during the day. And once she returns here at night, she has to accept being raped by the lab aides, too. I can't fight anymore. Those weak words slipped from her lips. She forced herself into this so she could spend her days with Nana Ayusha again. But now all she's doing is becoming a swine, drowning in carnal lust. But just then she hears the voice again, calling out to her from beyond the end. Hey, stop doing this and let's become one. It'll be wonderful. Hey, stop doing this and let's become one. It'll be lovely. Hey, stop doing this and let's become one. It'll feel good. Giving into such sweet temptation would let her accept anything and everything. It promises her such lovely things if she only listens to the voice. If she goes there, all her anxieties and suffering will cease to be. The image of Paradise Lost comes to mind, becoming one with it, allowing herself to be devoured in her entirety and become part of that. What am I thinking? They're the enemy. They took everything from me, and they're trying to take everything I have now, too. Minori stirs herself into resisting. If she falls here, what little hope she clings to will fade. The voice retreats from her mind. Minori rises to her feet like she's dragging her body up. She then washes her sopping genitals and anus again, withstanding the urge to resume masturbating all the while. She's not doing this to be used by the men. She's doing this so she can fight another day. That's what she tells herself. After she forces the food she was given down her throat, she rinses her mouth thoroughly and puts it on her UEF Special Warfare Trooper uniform. It reeks of cum. After being showered with semen day after day, the smell has soaked into it. Nothing she does will wash it out. It feels like that scent is whispering to her. You're nothing but a slutty swine, a thing that lives to satisfy men. No, that's not true. She denies it forcefully. In order to fulfill her seemingly endless duty as a sexual relief station, she puts on the uniform and prepares to leave her cell. You keep doing this and that to Minori and Nana. I'll kill you, the lot of you. If you're supposed to be the humans here, fuck humanity to high heaven. It's a familiar voice, but she heard it in her head through a special transmission. She shouldn't be able to hear such a transmission while inside the base. Ha ha ha, that's right, I'm not human. What are you so afraid of? You're the ones who kept saying I'm not human. You said that, didn't you? It's Ayusha's voice. Why are you so shocked? You idiots might not know it, but I used to be a special warfare trooper. Transforming is second nature to me. Then I'll prove I'm not human, just like you wanted. I'll act as inhuman as you wanted and twist your bodies into neat little bow ties. A vivid image springs into Minori's mind. In a blood-stained room, there stands Ayusha coated in blood and tying something into a gruesome shape. She piles up the slash and dismembered corpses of men like bricks in a wall. You'd be surprised how much the human body can stretch. Maybe I'll twist your cocks into roses, then use them as ribbons for presents. The image of Ayusha's surroundings is terribly distorted, but Minori can still recognize it as the room Ayusha was being tortured in. She's using her force field to transmit this. I'll do to you what you did to Minori and Nana. Pluck off your limbs and pin them up. Stop? Why would I ever stop? Those two asked you to stop, but did you ever listen? Listen, rather? The last surviving man desperately tries to tell her something, but she twists his arm into an impossible angle. You say the footage was all fake after all this time and expect me to believe it? Besides, this is all stuff you did to me. Why don't you try it for yourself once, huh? It did wonders for me. Blue, glowing tentacles keep the man's limbs pinned down, and then as if in slow motion, she starts yanking them all off in different directions. Oh. But I'm sorry. Unlike you folks, I'm not human, so I can't use knives. So I have to tear you apart, nice and slow. The man's mouth opens as he starts thrashing about. His tendons tear and his joints snap. Finally, his arms separate from his shoulders and his legs are torn from his waist. Oh, this isn't satisfying. It's not nearly enough. I wish I could get back at that fat fuck too, because this isn't satisfying at all. The image flickers away. Minori shakes off the hands of the aide that came to let her out of the cell and runs off. The thought that what she might be seen as an act of defiance doesn't even cross her mind. Minori knows where Yusha is headed. An alert blares through the empty deployment port like an ear-splitting scream. Emergency! 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 All Corps members who are not part of the special mission are to remain on standby in their rooms. Remain on standby in your rooms. Minori! Someone calls out to her sheepishly. Minori stops and turns around. Nana! Minori feels her heart clench up. So much has happened, but she's finally got to see Nana again. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I never came to see you, Nana says, forcing out the words. Huh? Why are you apologizing? Minori is surprised by Nana's sudden apology. If I visited you, everyone would think I'm on your side. Those words felt like a denial of their relationship so far. It hurts. You don't have to apologize. Everyone suspects we're CC now. But Minori understands. Nana probably isn't formally seen as their accomplice, but some people must surely still suspect her. That's not it. It's even worse. They said Ayusha's an alien, and she seduced the commander and tried to destroy the base. Ayusha did mention destroying the cathedral to make the pasta tube collapse. Those words were probably twisted and misunderstood. And they said you're an alien too, and you sold out Ayusha so they wouldn't kill you, and that you agreed to be the men's sex slave just so they'd spare you. Minori is shocked. This is what people think she's doing? But true enough, Minori is the men's sex slave right now. Even if she's reinstated as a soldier, all her comrades will still look down on her for that. And me, they suspected I was on your side. So I thought if I went to see you, people would assume I'm cooperating with you. So even though I knew the truth, I had to say bad things about you. But even so, Nana probably saw the same image that Minori did, and was spurred to action as well. That's enough to prove she's still their friend. We have to go stop Ayusha. Actually, let Ayusha do what she's doing, because she's using some kind of power to just destroy. Like, they could just literally, if she's that powerful, she could probably just destroy the whole command center. Like, literally rip everybody's bodies apart. It's like, okay, we have control of the entire fucking cathedral. Now, nobody's going to, you know, I mean, literally put it out. It's like, hey, what are you gonna do? We got control of this whole motherfucker. You send more men? We'll just go in there and tear them apart. They can bring robots. She can probably take the robot arms off. Like, draw them. You know, they just start exploding everywhere. You know, just literally. If she's got that kind of power to slaughter men like that, then she can destroy a whole army by herself. I don't know. I'm for Ayusha. I'm fucking team Ayusha. Tear apart every fucking buddy on this base. Every single fucking person. Except for the main three. Let them take over the whole damn base and say, look, this is our fucking territory now. It would start a war, literally, between the cathedral and Earth. But that would be a hell of a lot more interesting story than what we've got. As they stand in front of the door of the commander's room, the two exchange gazes. The door hangs slightly open and the thick stench of blood wafts out from within. Nana speaks, trying to mask her fear. So you thought she'd be here too. Yeah, Ayusha said she wanted to get back at the fat fuck, so. Right, she said something like that when we were on that huge alien too. Realization dawns on Minori. Nana didn't see that image earlier. Nana, where did you hear about Ayusha doing something? The people watching over the surveillance monitor got away and spread the news. What about you? Minori reflexively lies. The lab's aides told me. Why was she the only one who saw that? Doubt weighs on her mind, but she decides now isn't the time to ask about that. Minori takes a deep breath and pushes open the door to the commander's office. A suffocating metallic stench hangs in the air. There are several corpses littering the floor. One of the bodies is that of a fat, corpulent man, the other slender and lanky. Both of the limbs have the shape of... Excuse me, we'll try that one again. Both have the limbs and shape of humans, but the internal organs bursting out of their crushed bodies look utterly foreign. Their organs are an azure blue. Their veins and entrails pulsate visibly like they were only just killed. Their body fluids are all faintly glowing blue. What is this? Nana moans out in disgust behind her. Those things lying there are what's left of Commander Kinnison and Deputy Commander Chan. It stands in front of them. Holy shit, I think she's like awoken. I'm totally getting like Awaken Zero vibes from this. It's shaped like a Yusha, yes. Minori has seen her naked so many times before that every part of her comrade's body is committed to memory. Yusha is a beautiful girl who, unlike her, has a beauty that feels like it's been carved by God himself. But now she's different. There's a blue tinge to her pale skin, and her body is all too different from what Minori remembers. There are CC patterns all over her. Yes, that's right. I'm a Yusha. Or maybe it'd be more accurate to call me Yusha's software running on CC hardware. I'm fine with that. I'm actually on Team CC right now. Like, I kinda want the CC to, like, just fucking have this huge battle with Earth where they wipe everybody out and they have, like a combination of CC and Earth. Like, they combine both of them together. Because, I mean, the CC can basically take over humans, and it gives them all these fucking powers, and that's more interesting than, like, normal life, right? And everybody's like, oh, it's fun, it'll be happy. Well, maybe it is. Maybe they can fix shit. So I'm almost like Team CC. Maybe they can fix all the shit that's wrong. Like, the alien race is like, hey, we actually want to become one with Earth now. Alright, well, are you gonna fix our shit? Or what? Exactly. Because there's a lot of shit on this planet we need fixed. And they keep talking about aliens, aliens, aliens. I ain't seen no fucking aliens yet. Well, you might get it, Minori, but a rattle brain like Nana probably won't make heads or tails of it. Ooh, why did you have to say that? But that does sound like something Yusha would say. It really is you, thank goodness. Nana looks like she's on the verge of tears. Dr. Bakashi told me about this. Even if you run the same software on different hardware, it would still act the same way. In which case, the thing standing in front of them really is a Yusha. Yusha, none of this is your fault. Of course you try to run after all the horrible things they did to you. If you come with me, Dr. Bakashi can help us. I'm sure he'll, well... Yeah, he might keep me alive so I can be his guinea pig. I guess that's not too different from being an idol, but I'm sick and tired of that. See, why does she want that? She's got, like, godlike power now. It's like, nope, I'm not an idol anymore. Matter of fact, boom! Oh my god, you just killed like 30 idols! There's no more idols in Japan! It's over! Boom! It's like, what? Oh yeah, Japanese Defense Force? Boom! American military! Like, Russia, China! All of it just, boom! Just gone! It's like, what about our missiles? We have no missiles! It's like one fucking awakened being just destroys all the military and everything on the planet. I could see it. Those words sound exactly like something Yusha would say.
いいじゃん、それでいいじゃん。私、軍人の送りとかエイリアンだとかどうでもいいよ。 イリューシャちゃん言ったじゃん。三人で生き残るって。
But that's better. You're better off that way. I don't care about a soldier's pride or aliens or whatever. You said it yourself. We'll all survive this together.
だから飽きたとか好きなこと言わないで。めっちゃ嫌だよ。
So don't you say you're sick and tired of this. You can't.She's right, don't give up, Ayusha, please. Dr. Fakashi told me. He said he'll try to take you in as a sample.
まあ、あの変態医師なら、そういう方面でなら本気で動いてくれてたんだろうけどね。
Well, that crazy doctor might actually be serious when it comes to that. Ayusha cracks an exasperated smile.
二人ともごめん。事前にそれ知ってたら、ちょっと手加減したかもだけど、やりすぎちゃったわ。
I'm sorry, you two. If I knew about that ahead of time, maybe I'd have held back a little. But I kind of went too far.
私を尋問してた奴らって、肩書きは参謀だったけど、肉屋が本業だったみたいで。
The people questioning me were technically staff officers. But apparently they were butchers before they joined the military. They cut me up pretty badly. I lost my arms, my legs, even my boobs. Oof.The limbs of the beautiful body standing in front of them are completely made up of CC tissue.
Damn!
And you know, I really tried to restrain myself, but they cut me up so much my patience must have snapped, so I cut them to pieces in return. Ayusha doesn't mention that her torturers said they were putting Nana and Minori through the same treatment as her. That was why she snapped. Ayusha doesn't want the two of them to think they were the reason she went out of control.
でさ、やつら言ってたわけ。デブも、私がカテドラル破壊を企んでいたって証言した。
And those bastards told me to admit that the fat fuck and me were conspiring to destroy the cathedral.
だってそれは、キニスの司令が事前に言ってたことじゃん。
Huh?But wasn't that Commander Kinnison's idea? I remember hearing that too. If it'll help you, I'll testify about it. In what, court? It's like anybody that disagrees, you're gone. Your Honor, you better slam that gavel. I win every court case ever. Because you'll all die if it's like, fine.You're exonerated. Just. Me too. So, Ayusha, we can still explain. That really pissed me off, you know. He was trying to pin all the blame on a woman like the most petty man you could imagine. So I came all the way here to give him a piece of my mind. But when I came in, I found the fat fuck in his body and his bony deputy here too.And when they saw me, they got turned on and tried to pounce on me. Can you believe it? Disgusting. Ayusha glares at the obese corpse on the floor. And it seemed like the fat fuck didn't even recognize who I was. He was just an animal. Saw a woman approach him and decided to fuck her. Figures, I guess. He was an alien on the inside after all.Yup. Oh, I'm sorry. I said that shit pretty wrong. And it seemed like the fat fuck didn't even recognize who I was. He was just an animal. Saw a woman approach him and decided to fuck her. Figures, I guess. He was an alien on the inside after all. Are you saying the commander was a CC?I heard he suffered an outbreak of some brain problem. Oh yeah, she gave him a brain problem all right, and couldn't work anymore, but... Well, now he can never work again. But that's fine. I don't think the fat fuck wanted to keep living in this state. Yusha looks at her two friends with a bright expression. But everything I did stops here. The end. I'm glad I got to see you two one last time. One last time? No, no! Yusha killed three staff officers as well as the former commander and deputy commander. There's no saving her anymore. But still, Minori doesn't want things to end this way. Minori, I'm a CC now. I'm your enemy. The same as the ones that destroyed your home. I don't care about that. You're not an alien. You're a Yusha. You're not my enemy. Ugh. What am I gonna do with you? I wanted to ask you two to finish me off, but how can I make that mistake when you say that? Even if you ask, we could never do that. Minori realizes what Yusha's trying to do. If the two of them kill Yusha, they'll be credited with killing the evil CC that terrorized the base. Minori could be reinstated as soldier, and all the suspicion directed at Nana would be lifted. Of course you could. When my body became like this, I realized we can turn into magical girls even without those wands. That's how I killed them earlier. Yusha didn't appear before the two girls in her special warfare gear because she has no intention of fighting them. Then what were the wands even for? Why did they even have us use them? It's a shackle. We don't need it. The magic we used was purely the manifestation of the desire to become one, to unify. But I don't want that to happen to me. From the CC's perspective, we might look like savages that burn books and throw them at each other, but Yusha trails off and turns to look at the open door. Oh, looks like they're finally here. Forgive me, you two. I couldn't keep our promise. Something flies into the commander's office. Yusha smiles even as her head is blasted off. Wow. Die, aliens. Show up all you want. I'll slaughter you every time. But the thing that used to be a Yusha doesn't collapse. Blue liquid and tentacles spurt out of her severed neck. Ah, die, aliens. Die, die. The attacks cleave into Yusha's beautiful abdomen. Splotches of body fluids coat the room in another layer of blue. No, this can't be real. Nana clings to Minori. Stop it. Just stop. Stop. Please, I'm begging you. Stop. Minori can only scream. A fireball forms at the tip of Lizette's blade. It shoots forward, reducing the quivering clump of what used to be a Yusha into ashes. And that's a wrap. To hear it, Lizette Agarel says that with a cheerful smile. Oh shit. And you too, I can't believe humans would side with an alien. I'll finish you off too. Minori steps up to protect Nana. Kill me if you have to, but she's got nothing to do with it. Lizette stays her hand. She stares hard at Minori and Nana, only to beam at them. Huh? Wait, you're the girls who fought with me earlier. Where's your friend? Is she all better now? Nana screams. Oh shit! What are you talking about? You just killed her. Give back our best friend. Lizette scratches her head awkwardly, a confused expression crossing her face.
So that was it?
としか聞いてなかったから。あ、でもエイリアンだったんでしょ？
I did? All I heard is that an alien showed up, and I mean that was an alien, right? No, Ayusha was human to the very end. Pierced by their two furious gazes, Lizette becomes flustered. Don't look at me like that. Oh, what do I do now? This is bad. An apology isn't gonna fix this.
Lizette!
Cersei appears in the doorway. Oh, thank goodness. I was thinking it was taking you too long. I was wondering what happened. Lizette hurries over to Cersei. Oh, what do? I thought I was up against an alien, but they're saying I killed their friend. I mean, it was an alien, but it was their best friend. It was their friend. Oh, Cersei, what am I gonna do? Am I supposed to do, like, that commit Sudoku thing? Like a samurai? Sudoku? No. Cersei wraps her arms around Lizette's body, hugging her tightly. You did nothing wrong, Lizette. You're a hero after all. I'll talk things out with these girls, so calm down, okay? But the gaze she turns towards Minori and Nana is cold. Oh, that's great. I'll let you fix this then, but don't do anything bad to them, okay? Huh? Oh, don't worry. I'll never do that. Cersei leaves the office, soothing Lizette all the while. Following that, fully armed male officers rush into the room and arrest Minori and Nana. Oh, wow. Really? Minori is prepared to be brutally raped by the officers, but she steels herself to defend Nana, even if it would be seen as an act of defiance. But contrary to her expectations, they are instead taken to Cersei's office. The suspicions regarding you two have been cleared. We've discovered an evidence of a conspiracy between Commander Kinnison, Ayusha Petrovna, and Deputy Commander Chan. Ayusha didn't do anything like that. Destroying the cathedral was all Commander Kinnison's plan. I heard about it too. She said the fat fuck said so. Ayusha Petrovna was an accomplice. No, a victim. The main culprit was Kinnison. He was already an alien since before the cathedral was constructed. What? No way. Don't you think it's strange? The special warfare troopers are always so powerful, so why have we never gone on the offensive for all this time? Think about that. All the missions were defensive missions. They've never gone on an offensive mission at all. It was Kinnison himself who kept the situation so finely balanced. Mankind would never win, so that the CC would have the time they need. It can't be. After all, mankind never struggled in the war against the CC as desperately as the Great August Invasion just last month. Yes, it's hard to believe, but even the people of Earth have begun questioning the state of the war. So to that end, the North American Army sent the Staff Officer Leo Eldritch here to the base. He carried out a secret investigation under the commander's nose. He only discovered the truth several days before the Great August Invasion.
CC は戦力を大幅に損失していた。 このまま攻撃されたら人類に敗北するのは必至。
After losing,
ここに基地を建設するおあつらい向きな場所をわざと作った。
After losing the lunar orbit battle, most of the CC's forces were destroyed. Mankind was desperate and afraid that if they were to attack again, we'd lose the second time around. That's why we built a base in an ideal location to keep them pinned down. That ideal location was the main anchor. But the main anchor had a trap set within it. It brainwashes people to their cores, turning them into CC.
そしてキニスン司令はメインアンカーの調査中、CC の罠にはまって、狙い通りにされてしまった。
While investigating the main anchor, Commander Kinnison fell into the CC trap and was infested just as they planned.
キニスン司令、キニスンは、まず月軌道回線での過負荷で体調を悪くしていたリジェットの負担を軽減すると称して、出撃回数を制限した上、あの機体に閉じ込め、弱体化させた。
Commander Kinnison, no, Kinnison started by restricting the amount of times Lizette could deploy. He claimed she was unwell after the lunar orbit battle and that she was doing it to, and that he was doing it to avoid burning her out. He then sealed her into that unit. Indeed, when they saw Lizette in the flesh during the Great August Invasion, she was much more heroic and powerful than she ever was inside that red unit.
時間を稼いでいた間に、CC は兵力を蓄えていた。そしてこちらの作戦計画は全て向こうに漏れていた。だから、宝石泥棒には光線兵器が増加されてたわけね。
He bought the CC the time they needed to build up their forces, leaking all our operations to the enemy. That's why the Jewel Thief was armed with that beam weapon. Oh.
あらかじめ計画された敗北、それに抗する最後の手段として、カテドラルを爆破すると称して総員を撤退させ、CC のカテドラル占拠を実現させる。
So since mankind's initial plan was a failure, he claimed the cathedral had to be blown up as a last resort. Using that pretense, he had the whole army retreat, allowing the CC to occupy the cathedral.
それがキニスン。いえ、CC の策略だったのよ。
That was Kinnison. No, the CC's scheme. But what about Deputy Commander Chan? Why him too?
チャン副司令はキニスンが失敗した時の予備。最初の計画に失敗した場合、司令の権限を引き継がせて、兵力分散という愚かな作戦を実行させるためのね。
Now you know this is full of shit because she had him killed. Deputy Commander Chan was a spare, a backup plan in case Kinnison failed. If the initial plan failed, he was to take over the commander's authority and go ahead with the foolish plan to split up our forces. We all know that's not true. Chan was completely against the CC's, the cathedral's destruction. We must not lose the CC! You know, remember that? Not the CC. I keep saying the CC, but we must not lose the cathedral! Remember that? Yeah.But if that's the case, Yusha had nothing to do with that. You didn't have to kill her. She was innocent. That's why I called her a victim. Kinnison picked up on her secret investigation and needed a... Upon to investigate us in return, and he laid his eyes on Yusha Petrovna. Okay, so this is all bullshit, basically. We know the truth.She had a unique presence among the special warfare troopers, and so he used her to investigate our movements. And to do that, he infested her and turned her into an alien, too. Cersei speaks, her voice thick with pity. That's not what happened. The Yusha Petrovna you thought was your comrade wasn't the Yusha Petrovna you knew. Nana plops into her bed. Ah, I'm pooped.She doesn't hate handling the guests, but it's exhausting. She just finished handling two of them together when one more came along. Just one more push. She needs to shower and wash off. After that, she'll put on her makeup and switch over to pretty Nana mode. But even knowing this, she can't bring her body to act. Thoughts of Minori Azuka, whom she saw for the first time in so long just yesterday, won't leave her mind. Something bad happened to Yusha. Once she heard that rumor, Nana stuck out and hurried over, only to run into Minori. Her body and uniform reeked of cum. On top of that, she smelled like she hadn't bathed properly in days. Her hair and lips lacked color. She looked absolutely exhausted. She wasn't eating or sleeping properly. The men were abusing her so much she hardly had time to rest. Nana knew that Minori was enduring something truly awful. Everyone kept spreading rumors that Yusha and Minori were alien spies. They said that Minori sold her body off to evade a death sentence. Nana knows this is a lie. Minori would never do that. But Nana can't say anything. What's more, she has to act like she's a victim. If she tries to cower from Minori and Yusha in any way, she'll be subjected to the same fate. Nana hates that she has to act this way, but living here in this terrible, suffocating place gives her no other choice. Rumor has it that Minori's being used as an outlet for the men's sexual desires. Many of the girls have seen her for themselves. They scorn Minori from the bottom of their hearts for it. In reality, they're probably just searching for a target to relieve their guilt. All the girls that survived, save for Nana and her friends, had run away from the battle. But Minori and Yusha fought until the very end. The girls were trying to lighten the burden of guilt they felt by reducing them to traitors in their minds. But even with the girls acting like that, Minori would forgive them. Nana thinks Minori shouldn't forgive people who are this awful to her, but that's just the kind of girl Minori is. She's such a dummy, but I can't abandon her. If Yusha was here, they could have saved Minori so much sooner. But instead, Nana and Minori had to watch Yusha be murdered before their very eyes. She might have been an alien, but she was a Yusha, the same girl Nana loved so much to the very end. Now that she's gone, Nana's the only one who can save Minori. This is too much for me, Yusha. Yusha, I can't do this job you left me. But if Nana does nothing now, it won't be long until Minori's heart breaks. Oh no, what am I supposed to do? Oh. Nana hops to her feet. I'll go take a bath. First she'll take care of herself, then she'll think of helping Minori. Nana's not the type to wallow in her sorrows. October 15th. Man, got a beat going. Hey, you got so big. Nana smiles impishly. She looks at Banker's dick. Really? Singer acts so enthusiastically in a way that none of the other girls ever do, leaves him flustered. When I think of putting it between your tits, it just gets like this. Second Lieutenant Banker is absolutely smitten with Nana. She's always so cute and pretty. She's all smiles and smells so nice. Unlike all the other girls, she isn't as slutty and broken. The fact that he is one of the men who can make her act this way is a source of pride for him. So you got hard because you were thinking of my boobs. What'll happen when you actually see them then? Nana flips up her sailor suit top, revealing her large breasts. She then uses them to envelop Banker's erect, moist cock. Wow. It's actually a legit, consensual, romantic sex scene in this thing? Holy shit. Didn't expect that. Whoa, it's so fluffy and it's sticking to me. How can I even describe this? Ah, her skin is so different from that of the other girls. Theirs is all grimy and flaccid, but hers is soft and clean. As Banker breathes, really shitting on the other girls, right? As Banker breathes roughly and starts swaying his hips, Nana looks at him as if to say, oh, what will I do with you? You're being too clingy, Banky. But she says Banker-chan, which, again, I think would be better. Take your time and let me please you. Just sit back and enjoy this. Yes, that's how you're supposed to handle a girl like Nana. Alright, you are. Sorry. I've just had to handle so many sluts that I haven't gotten around to you, Nana. It just happens. Ever since the month of September came around, Nana's become so much cuter and prettier. All the other women have become increasingly degenerate after August. But she's the only one who stayed girly. Second Lieutenant Banker thinks back to the first time he saw Nana show up in this outfit. Her sleek black hair was tied into a ponytail, and she wore a sailor suit that invoked pleasant memories. It was like a goddess descended before him, freeing him from the routine of military uniforms, horny combat outfits, and naked sluts. But when he raped her together with Callahan, he never thought of her that way. Really? He used his pornography equipment to take pictures of her. It took him back to his high school days when he would snap photos of any cute girls that he saw. But before he knew it, she was standing right next to him, looking at him with such friendly eyes. He could have raped her just like the other girls. The cathedral's rules permitted him to do that. And normally that's what he would have done. If Callahan were there, he'd have done so in a heartbeat. But that time he hesitated to lay his hands on her. He figured it wouldn't be long before she spoiled like the rest of them. Her hair would turn sticky with cum, her clothes would take on that sour stench, and her skin would lose its luster. With dozens of men raping her every day, she'd be reduced to something less than human, to a living toilet just like Minoru Iizuka. But Nana whispered in his ear without a hint of fear. Hey, can we chat? Her breath blew into his ear. It felt sweet. For the first time in a while, he actually talked to a girl. Much to his surprise, Nana had plenty of things to talk about. She watched movies from just about every genre. Their talks led them to watching movies together. He naturally took her to this room. They watched movies and then they had passionate sex. The sight of her after the act, slightly tired but satisfied, was so lovely. It gave him a sense of satisfaction raping a woman never did. You know what? I don't like the way that sentence is written. It should be, it gave him a sense of satisfaction that raping a woman never did. Very important to add the that there. Other men seemed to have been taken in by her charm. Before long, Nana Kisaragi was always being protected by several men. Doing that shielded her from the men's violent lust. Unlike the other women, she never became soiled and rotten. She smelled nice, she was cheerful and lovely. She was special. The men all shared Nana, but none of them ever raped her. They each took their time to chat with Nana, watch movies with her, and have sex with her. Wow. I mean, what would you call her? Like, more like a courtesan? The time they spent with her felt completely different from when they thrust into women that had been reduced to living fuckholes. The only way in which they had to restrain themselves was not to pounce on her immediately like they did with the other sluts. But even that only served to spice up the wonderful time they spent with Nana. What's wrong, Banky? You look like you're lost in thought. Are you bored with my boobs? Huh? No, it's just I was thinking about how I wish I could spend time with you more often. Then maybe you should do it with me all night, all day long today? I've been wanting to do it with you more too, Banky. Second Lieutenant Banker feels his pulse quicken. Is this a special day where he, out of all the men orbiting her, can be your boyfriend? Well, yeah, she's got a lot of orbiters. That's for sure. A whole day where I'll have Nana all to himself? Really? I mean, Nana, you have a lot of things to do. Banker can't say it out loud, but he knows Nana's position. Nana has to service a particular group of men in exchange for staying cute and unblemished. If he keeps her all to himself, the other men might treat her badly for it. But I really want to. Can't we? She tilts her head as she asks, looking at him innocently. Of course we can. What man alive could say anything else? Then I'll use a really special something just for you. Oh, and just for you guys, normally I cut this off in an hour, but we're gonna finish this scene. Nana takes out a cute little bottle of lube. She then theatrically tilts it over her breasts, which have his cock sandwiched between them, to pour its contents out all over them both. The lotion spreads over her slightly sweaty and glistening breasts. The sight alone is arousing enough to make Second Lieutenant Banker's cock twitch with lust. Let's start off slow. Her soft, slippery skin envelops his cock. She starts moving with sluggish, almost agonizingly slow movements. Oh, Her wet skin coils around his cock, gently rubbing all over it. The stimulation causes his waist to twitch up a bit. He's made the base's bitches give him plenty of tit jobs before, but he's no stranger to the... he's no stranger to the idea. He knows that they can feel good, but the way they tend to stare with him... But the way they tend to stare with him deadened. I can see what they're saying here. He knows that they can feel good, but the way they tend to stare at him... Oh, it is at him. There's a with him with. It should not be with him. It should be, he knows that they can feel good, but the way they tend to stare at him with deadened, emotionless eyes takes most of the fun out of it. See, there you go. I really wish they paid people to do this, but they don't. They don't pay people to edit this shit. But oddly enough, it feels completely different when not as the one doing it. Banky. You really are enjoying this, I'm happy. Nana holds onto her supple breasts with both hands, pressing them together and tightening their grip around his dick. It makes it feel even better. The lubricant lotion and his pre-cum make audible squelching sounds. Nana! He feels the urge to come already, but he wants to enjoy this for longer. Banker clenches his butt to resist the urge to ejaculate. Right now, he's sincerely relieved that the men haven't turned Nana into a slave the way they did with Minoru Iizuka. If Callahan's friends were still alive, that might have actually happened. Banker's truly relieved it didn't. In other words, he's inadvertently grateful that the CC killed his colleagues. Do you want to come already? You don't have to act tough when you're with me. But I want to enjoy you for longer, Nana. Banker desperately holds himself back from coming. Then I'll just have to satisfy you even more. Nana giggles impishly and swallows his glands where it peeks out from her cleavage. Oh, your lips are on my thing. They're so soft, so warm. As her soft breasts rub against him, she coils her tongue around his glands and sucks on it wholeheartedly. Oh, that's good. So good. Even so, he tries to withstand the torrent of pleasure. Slurp, 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 slurp. Well, I'm not doing that. Let her do that. She doesn't just hold it in her mouth and lick it. She even takes it to the back of her throat as she continues to rub it with her breasts. Oh, it's too good. He suddenly feels something cold and wet against his dick. Nana's released his cock from her mouth. Nana, that's mean. She gives Banker a teasing glance as she sticks out her tongue in cute gestures. That little coquettish act soon becomes a more seductive one, though, as she alluringly licks her lips. I mean, I want to suck your dick for longer too, Banky. I want to make out with you longer too. Yep, we got plenty of time. She then swallows his dick again, resuming her combined boob job and blow job and tit job. The small break she gave him only leads to him coming that much faster. Unable to hold back any longer, Banker comes in the hot confines of her mouth. Glug, glug, glug. Nana audibly gulps his seed down, devotedly swallowing up all he has to offer. She then brings her lips to his urethra and starts sucking up what's left in his rod. After she's done thoroughly cleaning him up, she raises her blushed face and smiles. You sure came a lot. I'm happy. The way she's proud of what she did to him only makes Banker even more excited. Oh, you're so hot. He comes all over her adorable face in sailor suit. Wow, I didn't think you still had this much in you. You must really love me. But I came all over your face after you cleaned me up. I'm sorry. But of course Nana doesn't get mad. It's fine, I can just wash these clothes, no problem, and I'll just take a shower to wash it off my face. With that said, Nana takes off her sailor suit, leaving herself naked. Her new body looks completely different from those of the other girls who get violently beaten all the time. Oof! Oh, you're naked! Her body and skin, which were covered by her clothes until now, are soft and smooth. They don't look the slightest bit emaciated nor tired. Pleasant smell wafts from her form. The thick carpet of pubic hair covering her privates is black, sleek, and puffy, almost like an ebony flower. It's not the slightest bit unsightly. She's completely different from Minori Izuka. Minori's skin and body become all haggard and gaunt, and she smells sour. Nana's nothing like that slut in her empty stares. Yes, Nana's a girl. 100% perfect girl. Don't say weird things like that. It's kind of embarrassing when you can see everything. As she says this bashfully, she puts her underwear into the room's washing machine. Seeing her like this makes Banker want to push the pink body in front of him down onto the bed. He swallows nervously. Desire to fuck this girl into exhaustion and make her entirely his own rises in him. Oh, I know, Banky. Why don't we take a shower together? Huh? I mean, we both got really sweaty. With that said, Nana vanishes into the bathroom. Driven by his desire for further pleasure as well as a pang of regret for his forceful urge from before, he takes off his clothes and follows her. Come, let's become one. It'll be wonderful. Come, let's become one. It'll be lovely. Come, let's become one. It'll feel good. A kind voice. If she obeys this voice, she'll surely become one. It's waiting. Waiting for her. She has to find it. Oh, damn. We have this nice little soft scene, and then we're back into hell. Well, that's what it's like in Dead and Aegis. You know, like I said, since we're so far into this, we may as well finish it. So I'll do some more of it tomorrow, and the next day, and then we'll be doing AVN, so wherever I am is wherever I am. I'm not going to be doing the hentai games again until October, when we'll probably really gear up. So there's two more days of this, guys, and then we're doing something else. Alright, so this is the Grim Lord here, and I'm out, and I'll see you next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner with more Dead and Aegis.